You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Grizzlies show. As always, I'm your host, Mark King, for this Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I appreciate you guys being back with me on this Tuesday edition of the show. We're going to have a good show for you guys. Today, the Grizzlies blow a 25-point quarter, and they end up losing the game to the Nuggets. That was an interesting game last night. We'll talk about that. We'll have our Monday mailbag in the second segment of the show, since we did not have a show yesterday. And then we'll wrap everything up in the last segment and head home for the day. Got a great week for you guys, though. Tomorrow's show will be with Joe Melnick, site manager of Grizzly Bear Blues. And then we're going to have Jason Smith from 92.9 of the Jason and John show. And then Friday, we'll wrap up with David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal. So a good week for you guys. I'm working on the next week, I guess. I think they'll probably be just as good. I think I'm going to have a couple national guys in next week. So just continue to grow this show. I appreciate everyone who's gone out and downloaded and subscribed to the podcast this month. Make sure you continue to do so. Make sure you continue to spread the word. Tell your friends about the show we're having. I appreciate everyone, again, downloading the show every single day. But a little bit of like housekeeping and news. Obviously, there wasn't a show yesterday. If you guys follow me on Twitter, you kind of know why I didn't do a show. Just had some things going on that I had to take care of in our family and just kind of spend some time with our kids and my wife over the weekend. So I didn't write about the team on through the weekend. I didn't cover the team. I didn't even watch the game on Saturday. I didn't do anything other than hang out with my kids and hang out with my wife and just really, you know, sometimes you have to just kind of do what's important. And sometimes as much as I work, this is not my primary job. This is a hobby for me. I do get paid to do this show. I get paid to write about the Grizzlies and cover the Grizzlies, but albeit very little that I get paid to do these things, very, very little. So these are done because I like to do them and I enjoy it. So as much as I work, sometimes it's good to, just got to get back and understand what's important in your life. And so that's what we did this weekend. So I appreciate everyone understanding that and continuing on with me on Tuesday. So other than that, again, like I said, I appreciate everyone downloading the show. If you're not already following the show on Twitter, make sure you do. Locked On Grizz on Twitter. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at King_producer. That's where we'll continue the conversation after the show. So let's get right into it. The Grizzlies lose last night to the Nuggets, 95-92. And the Grizzlies, they started off fantastic. Marc Gasol was something that we hadn't seen in a long, long time. I mean, the Grizzlies in the first half looked like a Grizzlies team that was reminiscent of the team to start the year. I mean, Marc Gasol had 14 points in the first quarter. You know, he had 21 points in the first half. I mean, he was hitting threes. He was hitting turnaround, you know, fadeaway jumpers within that one leg, kind of a la Dirk. I mean, he was doing, and all things that everything that you could want him to do, he was doing. I mean, they were rolling. And the Nuggets, they didn't come out to play. I mean, I guess they would more say that I think it may have been a more of a shock to them than anything that the Grizzlies were doing this because of just what they've done in the recent weeks. I mean, you think it's a team's going to be pretty easy to roll through. Jokic wasn't very good. Nikola Jokic wasn't great. I mean, he was having, you know, trouble getting where on the spots that he needed to get to. You know, the Grizzlies defense was playing extremely, extremely good. They started Kyle Anderson. He came back last night. So that does have something to do with it. But the Grizzlies defense was just a defense of kind of the old. I mean, of the beginning of the season, it was suffocating, and they were getting those stops, getting out in the transition buckets. They were getting fast break points. I mean, all the things that they were doing earlier in this season to get easy buckets for their offense, they were able to do They were able to do in that first half. I mean, if you think about the first part of the year, the biggest thing that was kind of underrated that people talked about or didn't talk about, excuse me, was that their defense was so suffocating and was creating so many turnovers and easy transition buckets. And that was one thing they did really, really well at the beginning of the season. And that's what led them. That's what basically gave them their offense. I mean, if you've been following this show all year long, we talked about that at the beginning of the season. And, that's something that they stopped doing, obviously, when they got bad. That the defense fell apart. That portion of the Grizzlies fell apart. And they haven't been able to do that consistently. And the Grizzlies haven't had a real offense all year. The offense has been pretty much bad all year. I mean, earlier in the season, they were able to mask the bad offense with transition buckets, good defense, turnovers, creating extra possessions, all those things, they were to kind of mask that offense that wasn't very good, that stalled out at times, that wasn't good in late games. They were able to trick us into thinking that it was better than it was, but it really wasn't. It wasn't good. It never has been. And that's something they got back to in the first half. They were good in that sense. I mean, they were just doing everything that they everything that they needed to do. The Grizzlies got up. I think it was like an 18 or 19 point lead at halftime. I mean, they really did everything you could ask for. And then the Grizzlies came back in the third quarter and they actually increased the lead. I mean, they increased the lead to 25, I think, in the third, if I remember that correctly. But you know, they didn't. I'm not sure if they got the lead. I think the lead was 25 in the third. Either way, they came out in the third quarter, and the third quarter wasn't great. I mean, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't great. Grizzlies score 17 in the third. Nuggets score 19. So, like, the defense was still there. It was a bad quarter for both teams in reality. But the defense, it's not like the Grizzlies it wasn't terrible, you know. It wasn't great. It wasn't the quarter because the Grizzlies scored 30 in the first and 30 in the second, and they come out and scored 17 in the third. It was a little reminiscent of the third quarters they'd been having, but they were still up, I think, 17 or 16 to start the fourth quarter. I mean, it wasn't like it was a crazy number to be able to hold on to for the rest of the quarter. But then the fourth quarter hit, and it was just everything just fell apart. Everything fell apart for them. The Nuggets score 35 in the fourth, and the Grizzlies score 15. I mean, just you can't get outscored like that. You can't score 15 in the. You can have a quarter where you score 17 in the third, and you can overcome it, especially with a lead like the Grizzlies had. You can overcome that, and even if you have a bad quarter, you can get by, especially when you don't let them score 19, two more points than you did. So it's not terrible, but you can't go out and score 15 in the fourth, let them score 35, and score 17 in the third. It's just you can't do it. It's inexplicable how they continue to fall apart. This was the worst home loss on the regular season in his franchise history. Yes, I know that they lost to the Clippers by 27. Do not tweet me that. I know that. I'm talking regular season, not playoffs. Regular season. Worst blown lead in the history of the franchise. How in the world, as a coaching staff, can you continue to let this happen? How is it that each team on the other side can make adjustments as a coaching staff, and somehow you can't figure that out? I don't understand. I don't get it. I mean, in the second half, in that third quarter, they just stopped doing the things they were good at in the first half. They stopped playing defense. They just stopped playing defense. They let the Nuggets get into the paint like at will. I mean, Jokic was scoring, but he was scoring everything just going to the basket. They let Jokic come on. I think he only had I want to say like 5 or 6 points in the first half, or maybe 10 points in the first half. I don't know exactly. Will Barton only had I think 10 points in the first half. Ended up with 20. You let let's see. Hernan Gomez only had, I want to say he only had 7 or 6 in the first half. Malik Beasley. Hernan Gomez didn't do anything. He had 0 points. Malik Beasley is the one that helped them, that kind of helped them through the stretch. I mean, you know, he only had like 6 or 7 points in the first half. Will Barton hit a dagger three. I mean, you know, everything combined, it was just terrible. And then at the end of it all, even at the end of it all, you still had a chance to win the game because you were just up so much, and the Nuggets just, you know, it's a struggle to come back from 25. It's not so much of a struggle if you're not playing defense. But Justin Holiday let Will Barton get open for a three. He just kind of lost track of him. He hits a three. Grizzlies come back and hit three of their own. Justin Holiday hits a three of his own. But that last possession for the Grizzlies, they were down. They had one possession. They were down one, I believe. And they couldn't do it. You know, they had a pick and roll with a Mike and – Mike and Kyle Anderson, and that was the weirdest possession I've ever seen in my life. So Kyle Anderson gets the pick, has a free run to the basket, and then their defense kind of collapses to the paint, and he just stops. He kind of just doesn't know what to do, turns around, shoots this jumper, kind of a turnaround jumper, gets the ball back, and then stands there at the top of the paint for like 4 or 5 seconds. Mind you, they only had like 25 seconds in this possession. So it's down to like, you know, 9 seconds. His clock's ticking down. He stands there at the top of the paint for a minute. The paint literally just opens up like a C, and he just stands there, finally shoots it. He finally shoots it from the free throw line, somewhere around there, like the free throw line elbow, misses that one, gets his own rebound again. This time shoots it from behind the backboard, like from behind the backboard, and that one goes in, but he's standing out of bounds by like half an inch. He's a half an inch inside the line. It's ball game is over. Grizzlies and the Grizzlies win that game, and they like eke out a win. But it was so weird. I mean, Kyle Anderson, no one helped him. Like Mike Conley, like he tried to pass it to Mike, and before that second shot, he like looked at him. Mike was covered up, but Mike also didn't make a play to come get the ball. Like if your guys, you Mike has to go get the ball. Like you got to run over there and grab it from him. Like you have to get the ball. I mean, there's 10 seconds left, and literally Kyle's just standing around looking around, not knowing what to do for like 4 or 5 seconds. Clearly, didn't want to shoot the ball again. But he just had to, didn't drive the lane. Just so weird. Even in the very first drive that Kyle had, the lane was wide open, and he for some reason just inexplicably stops at the end of the drive. You just go up there. I mean, yes, Jokic collapsed to the paint and kind of gets right in front of him because Kyle's super slow. But you go up there and you see what you get. I mean, Mark's right there, but on the other side of the rim, you have a chance of getting maybe an offensive rebound because you already had the momentum on your side going down the lane. So that was the first weird thing. And then, like I said, the second weird thing was just Mike Conley not coming to get the ball, forcing Kyle to put a bad shot in. Like nobody moved around him. Like he had the ball at the free throw line and no one moved. They just stood there. Everybody just kind of froze, and then he misses two shots looking at the rim, you know, free throw line and closer, but he makes the one from behind the basket because that's how things go for the Grizzlies. So it was a strange game to say the least. I don't understand how the Grizzlies coaching staff can continue to run these lineups out there. Notably, Javon Carter didn't play at all. I don't know. He starts the last game on Saturday. He doesn't play this game. I don't get the random lineup changes. I guess if you find something that works, you should probably try to stick with that. But I don't get the random lineup changes. I don't get the random minutes. There's no rhyme or reason really. You know, Joakim Noah plays 24 minutes, and yeah, sure, Joakim was, you know, he brings some energy off the bench, and if whatever you want to classify as energy, I'm not really like, I don't like to quantify energy. I don't know how, you know, even really do that. I think if you take Joakim Noah off this team, they're no different. I honestly don't think that does any difference for you, but you know, some people like Noah, and if you do, great, whatever. I mean, I don't know. I just don't think he brings anything to the table besides energy, and I don't really know if that's something you can even qualify. I mean, he has 7 points. I mean, that's the most points I've seen him have in a long time. So he's supposed to be, you know, he did play good defense. I'll give him that. I will concede the fact that he played good defense last night on Jokic when he was out there. But Shelvin Mack, 18 minutes. Obviously, that wasn't even a lot of minutes for him. So I don't get it. Bruno Caboclo, 23 minutes. We'll talk about him later. Rab, only 4 minutes. But Rab only played because Jaren took a real bad fall third quarter. He went out to the locker room but came back, but never went back to the game until like the start of the fourth. So I'm not really sure. I know he told the coaching staff on the bench that he was good to go. So I'm not really sure what happened there. Mark plays 37 minutes, Justin Holiday 40 minutes, Mike Conley 36, Kyle Anderson 29, Darren Jackson 25. I mean, I just, you know, the random collection of minutes is just, it's weird. I don't get it. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And it's, I mean, this coaching staff can't be here next year. JB can't be here next year. I mean, I don't know how else to say it, but he'll continue to be the coach tomorrow and the next day, even though he shouldn't be. Because the Grizzlies are in a position where they can't really afford to fire coaches right now. And so that's really what it boils down to. There's no reason that J.B. Bickerstaff should still be the coach of the Memphis Grizzlies. None. You can't continue to have the same thing happen every single time. You can't continue to go out there, blow leads of 18, 19-plus, this time 25-plus, blow leads, and still think that this is okay. What you're doing is okay. Well, having that coach is okay. You can't do that. And that's squarely on coaching. I mean, the things that you're doing, the sets that you're running, the offensive stuff that you're out there putting into place in the games, that's all coaching. That's all coaching. Granted, the Grizzlies would like to have seen more points than 7, 3, and 5 off the bench. Bruno had 5, Shelvin had 3. Joakim Noah at 7, Arvin Ab 0. I mean, you got to have more than that. You know, you got to have more than that from your bench. You can't get killed. I think they were like 30 to 15 in bench scoring tonight. I mean, you can't get killed like that in bench play. Just can't. They've got to do something other than what they did. Kyle Anderson with 9, Jaren Jackson with 8, and then Mark 28. Justin Holiday 9 and Mike Conley 23. I mean, Marc Gasol 28 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, but 7 turnovers. I mean, I get, you know, some people are going to say, well, you got everything you got from Marc Gasol. And I'd beg to differ that you got 21 in the first half and then 7 the rest of the way. And I beg to differ that you needed the first half Marc Gasol. You know, if you know what's going and what's working, it's giving you a 20-point lead, it's Marc Gasol being hyper-aggressive and shooting every shot and just really taking advantage of mismatches, doing all those things. If that's what got you the lead, I beg to differ that you can get more than 28 points from Marc Gasol, and you should ask for more. You should ask for more. I know, like, you know, 28 points is good. 9 rebounds, that's great. But if he's playing like that in the first half, how come it can't continue to the second? How come we can't get more than 7 points in the second half? I get the other teams making adjustments defensively to counteract what you're doing with Marc Gasol. I understand that. I get that. And that's not saying you're going to get another 21 points, but you can get 15 more in the second half. So, you know, and then Mike Conley, 23 points, 11 assists, 4 rebounds. You know, I think you could get a little bit more from Mike, but he was consistent all night, and that's kind of what you asked for. Again, the bench has to be better. Justin Holiday and Kyle Anderson with 9 points, that's kind of what you expect from those guys. I don't think you're getting anything more than that. Jaren Jackson with 8 points, you hope he'd have more than that. He was 4 from 10. He did take the shots, he just didn't make them. He struggled last night. So the big issue is just you know, they stopped playing defense. They stopped doing the things that helped them in the first half to get where they were. And then, you know, the bench play obviously wasn't good enough to sustain that drought. Just a terrible game, disappointing loss, but we move on. The Grizzlies move on. They fly to Minnesota today, and they play again on Wednesday night. So we shall see what happens with that game tomorrow night. Coming up next in the next segment, we will do the Tuesday edition of the Monday Mailbag. I think I only had a couple questions, but we'll answer those, and then we'll wrap up in the third segment. Welcome back to the show. Make sure you're getting your questions in every week for the Monday mailbag segment. It is in the second segment of the Monday show. Yes, I know this is Tuesday, but I did take the day off yesterday. But every Monday we'll do those. Make sure you're getting your questions in. You can tweet them to me. You can DM them to me at LockedOnGrizz or at King_producer. I usually put out a tweet on Sunday, and you can reply straight to that as well. You can send me a Facebook message, facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies. Or if you don't want to do any of that, you can email me, LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. So any of those ways work. No excuse to not getting the questions in. You can ask questions about whatever you want. If you want to ask me something personal or about my other job or life or whatever you want to do, I'll take all questions. It doesn't have to be basketball related. I'd like to answer basketball questions, but I will take them all, and we will answer them all on the second segment of the Monday show. The first question comes from Michael JT5 at LOLYouThink on Twitter. Between several young players of the past, Wade Baldwin, Kobe Simmons, Bronte Weber, Troy Daniels, and Andrew Harrison, Wayne Selden, James Ennis, Darrell Martin, and Deontay Davis, who are the best players we should have kept if we were to rebuild earlier last season, Grizzlies? Okay, so he's asking, of all those players, the players we should have kept to do a rebuild around for the young core, for the kind of next reiteration of the Grizzlies. So the choices I have are Wade Baldwin, no thank you. Kobe Simmons, Bronte Weber, Troy Daniels, Andrew Harrison, Wayne Selden, James Ennis, Darrell Martin, and Deontay Davis. I go ahead and lose Deontay Davis, Darrell Martin, just because they're not good at basketball. Andrew Harrison, not good at basketball. Bronte Weber, not good at basketball. Troy Daniels, I would have probably kept Troy Daniels. I actually like Troy Daniels. I understand he's a very one-dimensional player, but he does that one thing very, very well, and in today's NBA, can be an asset of shooting threes. I would have liked to keep Troy Daniels. I like the idea of Kobe Simmons. I don't know if he would ever been a good enough player to really sustain it. They probably did the right thing by moving on with Kobe. I'd like to see more of him. I'm not sure about Kobe just because I don't know. I didn't get to see a whole lot of him to really determine what he could have been. I mean, you know, he showed flashes, and I think he, you know, I like the idea of him, but I think he also got something good in Javon Carter. So, Wayne Selden and James Ennis are the only players I have left to choose from. Obviously James Ennis is a basketball player. I would have kept him as well. I liked what he can do. And I like Wayne Selden. I've always liked Wayne Selden. He's a good 3-and-D player. And so I think if you have Wayne and James, you know, Troy Daniels, yeah, I mean, I might would have just kept him to see what you have in him. Those are the players I like out of that list that I would have kept maybe just to see a little bit more from. But James Ennis is a good basketball player. He's probably out of the list, he's probably the best basketball player on that list. But, you know, they all have flaws. You know, a lot of those guys are not good basketball players at all. Jarrell, Deontay, Wade, Bronte Weber, Andrew Harrison, they're not good basketball players, and which is why they largely aren't really in the NBA anymore. So you can say whatever you want about Wade. So it's fun to talk about, but, you know, it's just as depressing to talk about to realize that out of all those players, those are the players the Grizzlies acquired, and half of them, I'm saying, they're not good at basketball. That's the most depressing thing about that question. But Michael, I appreciate your question. I hope that answers it. The other question we got was from Dr. Grizz at Dr. Grizz with like 4 Z's. So appreciate your question. If the Tigers and Grizz swapped coaching staffs, how would it affect each team's wins/record? So we've got a couple hypothetical questions today. I appreciate that. If the Tigers and Grizz swapped coaching staffs, I think it would probably... You know, the college game and the NBA game is so different that it's hard to say who would be good at what, just because some coaches are really good at coaching college and some coaches are really good at in the NBA. It's a faster game in the NBA. You know, you have younger players in college who, you know, are not always. You know, what you think they should be or you know, polished, and so you're still kind of teaching them things. So it's definitely a different game. But just if we were going straight up and just talking like just hypotheticals, I think that the Tigers would get worse and the Grizzlies would get better. I mean, Penny Hardaway is a good coach. End of story on Penny Hardaway. Penny Hardaway is a good coach and he's a good motivator. He understands what it takes players to get players to play for him. And so you would assume that the Grizzlies would get better. Because right now, JB and this staff is not very good at what they're doing. So you would expect them, the Grizzlies, to get better and the Tigers to get worse because JB's not good and Penny is. Whatever you think about JB as a player's coach, I mean, that was like his whole thing. Like, he's like the player's coach. Everybody likes him. You know, players listen to him. Then for what reason, I can't understand, if the players like you so much and listen to you so much, how you can't get them motivated to play in second halves. That's just me. That's my opinion. I don't understand it. Maybe, you know, it's just, it's above my head in the coaching, and they're smarter than me. I don't know. I'm not an NBA coach. I know what I see on the basketball floor. You know, sometimes that doesn't always translate directly to coaching, but I know what I see. But yeah, I think they would probably each get worse and better because it's exactly what we're seeing right now. The Tigers are above expectations. They're, you know, not expected to kind of do what they're doing. They're well beyond, what I expected of them this year. Being a Tiger alumni, makes me happy. And so, the Grizzlies are very, very, very lower than expectations. I don't think any of us thought they were going to be, terrible. But we thought they were going to be decent enough to give away that pick. And right now they're on track to not do that. So hopefully that answers your questions. I appreciate both of those questions this very Monday mailbag segment. Again, make sure you're getting those questions in each and every week. You can DM them to me on Twitter. You can send them to me on Twitter at LockedOnGrizz or at King_Producer, Facebook.com/LockedOnGrizzlies, or email them to me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. Coming up next, we'll wrap up the show and move on and get ready for tomorrow's game. Welcome back to the show. Just want to wrap things up in this last segment of the show. Again, we'll talk about this Grizzlies Minnesota game tomorrow. We'll have Joe Mullenix on tomorrow to talk about this game, as well as just the state of the Grizzlies. We'll have Jason Smith from 929 on the day after that. And then lastly, to end the week, we'll have David Cobb from the Commercial Appeal. So it's going to be a good week. Stay tuned. Appreciate everybody sticking with me. But also just to say thank you for downloading the show. We're almost to 10,000 downloads this month, which is huge for this show. So again, continue to spread the word, share it with your friends. Make sure you subscribe in iTunes so that you hear every single show, get those downloads automatically. And I appreciate everyone again downloading the show. It's not lost on me that the fact that you guys listen to me talk. So again, I appreciate it. It's been fun, and I hope we'll continue to just grow the show and get better and have bigger and better guests, and just continue to talk about the Grizzlies. Hopefully it gets better before it gets worse. Hopefully we'll have stuff that we continue to talk about. The Grizzlies never have a shortage of things for us to talk about, that's for sure. It is never a dull moment with this Grizzlies team. If you want to be a feature sponsor on this show, make sure you email me at LockedOnGrizz@gmail.com. The show is growing each and every week. Again, make sure you subscribe in iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, or simply go to LockedOnGrizzlies.com.